Hello and welcome to another episode of the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode number 11. We're making it a long way now.
Yes, and it took us 11 episodes for me to finally have technical failures. Yes, I'm holding my hand up in front of my face because this mic died. But on these Astros, I have a mic here. But if I drop it, you're just going to hear it brushing against my shirt. So I'm just going to be holding up in front of my face.
If you could just put your pinky up, just like, you know, like this.
Oh, like that?
Yes, yes. There. Now you're high class.
Okay, yes. There we go. Pinky's out.
There we go.
My pinky's out here, too.
This is just such a high class podcast.
Fucking A, man. And there's our explicit already.
Fucking A, man. Fucking A.
This has been one of those weeks. I don't know. It's been crazy. Ever since last week. Like, I don't know, it's like when the winter decided to descend from the eastern seaboard down to the south and drop onto Texas, everything's just kind of gone to hell. Mm-hmm. What, you disagree?
You know, we get ice too, and I know how to drive on ice.
No one knows how to drive on ice here. We don't have the infrastructure to deal with it here. School keeps getting closed. And I'm just saying, like, as soon as winter hit down here, like, life has not been pleasant. Like, school's been closed. Dog won't go outside. He will not go pee outside because of the cold. Like, he gets the snowflake on his nose, and he's like, nope, and comes right back in.
Oh, my God, your dog's a puss.
Oh, he is. He's the biggest baby. I mean, he's a German Shepherd, over 90 pounds, and he's a big baby. Like, he cries at me if I don't sit on the floor with him once a day, so he can sit in my lap.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yes, it's delightful.
I like how your dog has standards about going outside. Yeah. Oh, it's too cold, we're done here.
It's not the cold, it's the precipitation.
That cracks me up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't have to worry about wet dog syndrome in your house.
Oh, well, I almost don't care downstairs because downstairs is just a mess to begin with. And we're going to replace that carpet. So, yeah, just come on, run through here in the mud. I don't care. I've just given up.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So I may be using gaming as a medication a lot, especially if school closes again today. And tomorrow, because I used it as medication a lot last week.
Oh, yeah.
So I about killed my kids after, like, day two. Like, that's it. You guys got to get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. I used it last week as well, actually.
Because you got some bad news.
Yep. Good friend, a.k.a. family member, was diagnosed with breast cancer. So we made a... kind of dropped everything we were doing last weekend and... went out to go be supportive and kind of be there when they were going to the doctors. So,
awesome friends.
Yeah. So I ended up playing a lot of Monster Hunter 4. A lot of Monster Hunter 4, actually.
Yeah, what is it about, like, those types of games? Like, I've never played Monster Hunter, but I assume it's, like, big, ugly monsters, you know, kind of like Gears of War.
It's more like dinosaurs and dragons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you hunt down a lot of, like, they're all modeled off of it. So, like, you can find velociraptors, and then when you fight an actual big monster, it's usually some giant dragon-ish kind of looking thing. It's crazy, the monsters that they come up with. Because they make it fantasy enough that, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of detaches you, but yet it brings it close enough to home that you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that dinosaur from when I was a kid, so... it's a lot of that.
See, I finally killed my first dragon in Dragon Age Inquisition, and I felt so guilty. This is such a pretty animal, and I killed this one because it was actually eating travelers coming into this town, so that one had to go. But the others that are kind of out there, just kind of doing their own thing. They're not bothering anybody. And they're just so big and beautiful, and they're like, I don't know if I go kill another, even though there's achievement if you get all of them, and there's a side mission for you to get all of them, and Iron Bull is like, we must go kill all the dragons. I'm like, why? Why do you kill everything?
You know, it would be better if after you killed it, you ran up to it and pressed A, and you knelt down, pulled out a giant knife, and started skinning it. Because that's what you do in Monster Hunter 2.
That's awful. It's kind of like what you do in Skyrim, except that the dragon just kind of, like, evaporates.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's just, like, one bone and one tooth. Like, I don't know how that happens, but okay.
Oh, so, gaming as medication. Now, we're not saying, like, you should stop doing your medication, but this is, like, a way of dealing with stress and bad events in your life. I've done it a couple times, actually, throughout my life.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, sometimes you just kind of need that escape, and, you know, you don't want to go, you don't want to pour some wine or beer, whether it's too early in the morning, or if you just know that's just not a good idea. You just kind of want just an escape, just to kind of zone out and just do something. The last time I really used gaming as a medication was a few years ago. I had two miscarriages, and my first miscarriage, had that one at home, and I just, when it was final, yes, that's what's going on, I basically said, I walked away from the computer, told my boss, like, I'm done for the day. She totally understood, and I went and sat on my couch, because I was reviewing Gears of War 3 for Gaming Angels at the time, and so I just sat on my couch, and I played that all day. And there was just something cathartic of just sitting there and shooting monsters, really ugly monsters, in the face. And then, you know, Baird making me laugh, and, you know, Marcus all growly, and, you know, Dom being overly emotional, and me, who just lost a baby, going, oh my god, suck it up, Buttercup. You know, just...
Suck it up, Buttercup.
So, and I played with a friend of mine that night, because, you know, we wanted to see how the co-op worked, and he was, like, so supportive, because we got to, I don't think he played Gears of War 3, did you?
No, I think I stopped at 2.
Okay, well, in the fourth act, you go to this, town that is kind of a ghost town after the, what were those things called? The satellite missiles, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
where they burn everything to the ground, I forget what that's called, but one of, you know, because you find out from the books, they did that, basically scorched the earth to try to kill off as many locusts as possible, ended up killing a lot of people along the way. And this is one of the towns that was affected by it, and so you go to this town, and they have, like, the people that were caught in the blast, total statues of ash.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
And they've left it that way as a kind of a memorial. And the thing was, there was little kids. And you saw the parents trying to shield their little kid. And my friend Eric, he would stand in front of them and tell them, like, no, go around me, don't look at this. You know, so it was like a few days later when I actually played that act by myself, I looked at it, like, okay, I totally appreciate what he was doing, because I probably would have lost it then. So he really helped me through it. Just by keeping, you know, just keep my mind off of it. And then with my second miscarriage, I just, for some reason, decided that, you know, I'd never played Bulletstorm before, and I really wanted to. I heard it was really fun. I just wanted, and something, like, again, a mindless shooter, so I played some Bulletstorm, and for the first time, I laughed, because that game is so funny. It is so funny and so wrong. It really made me feel better. Like, I was, because I, for that miscarriage, I actually had to go in and have the surgery and everything, and so, you know, Sean and I are sitting there, we're waiting for them to take me back, and he doesn't know what to say, so I start telling some quotes from the game, which is really not appropriate in a hospital, especially with what we were talking about, and so we're both laughing, so it was just one of those things that we were able to kind of together, even though he didn't play the game, kind of get through it.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's awesome. In the hospital, you're dick tits.
Well, I think what was the ones I was telling him was, like, when she said, you still smell like sunbaked asshole, and he said, oh, that's Ishii's cologne, you know, and she's like, you come near me, I will kill your dick. What does that mean?
For that one.
When he got that giant Godzilla monster and named it something P. Tallywhacker and sang this huge song when it was, you know, rampaging through, and
God, that game was so much fun.
It's just, it's stupid, insane fun. It's like, you can't be, you can't get offended easily, you know, playing it. I mean, because the best part about it is how you kill people in nasty ways and the names of the, see, like, you kick someone into the water, it's called fish food.
Yeah. Man, that makes me want to go back and play that game again.
Does that have co-op? I don't think it does. If it did, that'd be awesome, because we could play that while you're here.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Oh, man. Yep, now I want to play that. Oh, now it's just chilling out there. So let's see. So, my most, I mean, other than the thing that I'm dealing with now, which, I mean, we're finding out good news about it, so at least we're
protecting from
that. So, there was a, when I moved to Georgia, even though that was my choice, I was going through a divorce at the time, moved to Georgia, so I was, it's like 850 miles away from where I was, I moved from Michigan to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm depending on a friend, you know, he's the one that's like buying all my food, putting gas in my truck while I'm trying to find jobs. So, you know, you get the whole thing of like, you're in a whole new area. You don't really have any friends yet. You know, I had my roommate and his girlfriend at the time, and that was about it. So there's only so long you can spend sitting there sending out resumes and trying to get to explore the area. So, and it's funny because even though, you know, these were all my choices, after, you know, about a week, and it, to me, it was that whole having to depend on somebody else to take care of me thing. And I'm, mm-hmm. you know, in my 20s, and it was like, hey, you should be taking care of yourself. You know, the depression starts to sink in, and you're like, I just, it was hard, even though it should have been a good time, it got hard. So at that point, EverQuest 2 and World of Warcraft had just, like, World of Warcraft had just come out, and EverQuest 2 had just come out. So I remember I was out shopping for something, and my friend, I caught up to him, we were both coming back home, and he calls me up on the phone. He's like, hey, I got your copy of EverQuest 2, and then he opens up the window on his car and hangs it out the side of the car. He's like, I'm just going to drop it right here, and you can go ahead and stop and get it. So it was like, you know, we would start playing that, and, you know, we had, it was me, him, and his girlfriend, and we were all playing the same games together. So at least at that point, it gave me something that I could do during the day after I did all my resume stuff. It gave me, like, I could go out and farm, you know, items for crafting and all that, and then when they got home, I could be like, here you go, I helped you out. And then during the night, we would just sit down and we'd play and we'd joke around with each other, and it really kind of helped deal with the whole fact of, it pushed away the fact that, you know, he had just went and put $50 worth of gas in my truck and just brought home $100 worth of groceries so I could eat. And then when we started playing World of Warcraft, we kind of fluctuated between the two, and that's when we started. He started introducing me to some more people, so then I started building up my circle of friends, and it just gave me something more to do. And the funny thing about World of Warcraft is, while I would play it for like 6 months in a row and then I'd stop, World of Warcraft is actually, when my wife and I met, she was only in Georgia for a couple weeks and then moved to Missouri. You know, and we're trying to do the long-distance relationship thing, and we used World of Warcraft as our dating mechanic. We would
That sounds cool, because then it's kind of like you're, in a way, hanging out and talking. And
yeah, because I'm not wanting to be on the phone a whole lot, and, you know, after she's had a stressful day of where she was working at, it was a good, because she had a really terrible boss, too. So this was kind of like her medication as well, because then we would both meet up in the game and just kind of talk about the day and just joke around with each other and then go do quests and all that other stuff. And it was a lot of fun. So, you know, she kind of got to use that as a medication, because she didn't, when she was in Missouri, she had nobody. So, you know, she's basically in an apartment by herself, and all mm-hmm. she has is coworkers. So until you kind of get together and, you know, build those friendships.
Right, right.
So, you know, we kind of did that. So I've used it. Oh, man. I mean, my best friend when I was, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, like, my mother walked out on us. We just woke up one day and my mom was gone. And his dad was an alcoholic, and we both used, we did a lot of Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Did a lot of Turtles in Time.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
And we actually started doing things like speedrunning Final Fantasy 1, Final Fantasy 2. So we, you know, while we were kind of, you know, we're still young, right? But in the same way, there was that thing where it brought the two of us together. You know, we could, it's not like when you're that young, you're going to be having really, you know, deep, thought-provoking conversations. But at the same time, it was a way that we were obviously just dealing with the fact of, you know, home life sucked. And right. We were able to, you know, sit, he would either come over to my place or I'd go over to his place, and we would just chill out on the floor and eat cereal and big-ass Tupperware bowls and piss our parents off because we ate, like, a box of cereal in a day. And, yeah, that's how we did A Link to the Past, we would take turns doing temples, and we never saved, so that way we could get that coveted zero save file on our cartridges, and we did that twice, because we each had a cartridge, so we had to do that twice. And
that was back before achievements, too, so
yep.
That was just like your own personal thing. Look at this. We finished it with zero saves.
Oh, hell yeah. It was like the thing to have. If your friends came over, they're like, oh, you have Legend of Zelda, I want to check it out, and you're like, oh, check this out. Yeah. Yeah, see that? No saves. So, and then it became, you know, how fast could you beat Final Fantasy 1? Could you do it in, you know, 20 hours? Could you do it in 30 hours? Because those games still had the timer on it, like how much time you've played on it. So,
right.
Became our, yeah, before achievements were a thing, that's what we were doing. But.
You guys doing the Metroid speed runs as well?
No.
No.
We never did that, actually. We did use Street Fighter. We played a lot of Street Fighter.
I'm not sure that got out some aggression.
When we got a little bit older. Yeah, because then his parents were going through a divorce, and he came over to my place. We had been moving all over the place. We had, like, a lake, so we would go down and ride our bikes into the lake, which is a stupid thing to do, but it was awesome. It was really fun. You never realize how heavy your bike is until you get it all full of water.
Yeah.
Drink it up 10 feet from the bottom of the lake so that way you can do it again. But he came over and we just did, like, Street Fighter. It was Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. That's the game that got us.
Listen, how Capcom was doing stupid names way back then.
Yes, they were.
Gosh.
So, yeah. It's funny to think that, you know, I mean, obviously gaming is not really a medication, but, you know, it's a great way to, it takes your mind off things, and then, especially if I'm dealing with something stressful, I will intentionally play a game for, like, I'll just take a Saturday and just play a game, and that way, you know, when I'm all done, and if I have to come back to it, I come back to it on Sunday, and I actually, you know, you're a little bit refreshed, your mind is, you know, relaxed, and you can come back at whatever you're dealing with and maybe see it from a different point of view that you were just too stressed out or too emotionally wrapped up in whatever was going on to, you know, find another solution or deal with whatever you're dealing with. So
the other thing that I'll do, because I've even did this back in the PS2 era, if there's, like, a particular cutscene or thing I really, really like watching or just experiencing again, I'll make sure to have, like, you know, keep that save so I can access it whenever I want.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
So, like, I still have, like, one of those saves on my PS2 for Final Fantasy X because there's this one cutscene, and it's not the big romantic cutscene everyone thinks of. It's this other one that just blew my mind back in the day. And in many ways, it still kind of holds up. You know, it's still like little sharp edges and blocky, but you know, it's still pretty amazing. And with Dragon Age, I have like different saves set up just for some super sweet moments, just because it's just, I don't know, it just kind of hits you right in the feels. Sometimes like when I'm just kind of feeling down, it's like, oh, I just want a quick like, oh, that's so sweet. Just kind of watch those little scenes. So, I mean, I'm supposed to be reviewing something else right now. I promised my boss I would. But then I'm like, that allure for Dragon Age, it's there, especially since I am single parenting this week. And it's just kind of, like, I'm still not doing anything in the story. I'm still, like, trying to go through every single area and go through all the side quests. And that's just nice, just to play a couple of hours of just doing random stuff and just going through and not having any pressure. And
now, did you ever have, when I was in college and depression would hit every once in a while, I'd actually have friends, like, they would throw a party and, you know, if you're depressed, you're like, I just don't want to deal with fucking anybody. Just leave me the hell alone. They'd be like, no, come on, Chris, come on down. We're going to play some SSX and we need you to show us how to do stuff because you're, like, you know, really good at it. You know, I wasn't any better than my roommates were, but, you know, they would, I would get down there and start playing SSX, and then they would fudge it so that way you would win, but they would, you know, kind of give you a little bit of a challenge. And that was always really nice too, because it wasn't, that's what I really miss. Now that everything's going online, you don't even have to see anybody, but that whole couch co-op thing where you're actually in person dealing with it,
mm-hmm.
You can talk shit to each other and have a good time. You know, that also helped out a lot too, even though you didn't want, I'd never wanted to do it. I was like, no, just leave me alone. And they're like, no, come on down. Let's just do this. Okay, fine, whatever. We'll pour you a rum and coke and you can sit down here and we'll play this and we'll have at it. And, you know, then next thing you know, you're laughing your ass off and having a good time.
No, I didn't have that because I really, this is like getting deep talk today, people. I was a closeted geek in college. Nobody knew I was into stuff. Nobody knew I liked watching cartoons. I kept that really to myself, and it wasn't until my fifth year that I started making friends who were into games, but by then I hadn't followed the gaming world in such a long time. Like, I still had my NES and my apartment, so I played, like, a lot of Dr. Mario and everything, and they all had their PlayStation 1s and N64s. And so I would go over to their apartment and watch them play the N64, because I still, to this day, like watching people play games. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. And so
you
I would
don't
just
watch play, Twitch.
Because I don't know those people. I don't know. It's just something about
having friends.
Yeah, just, you know, kind of sitting there, and I would watch them play Quake for hours. Just, you know, watch them talk shit and play 007. You know, and they would try to get me to play, and I was awful. And, you know, so the big story that Sean still bitches about is the one time they got me to play, and that controller is not a good controller to get to from, you know, the NES controller to the analog stick. From the NES to the N64 is too big of a leap. It's awful, especially when you're playing with a bunch of seasoned players. We're all trying to play 007, so, you know, I don't remember if we weren't going to capture the flag, but this is probably like, you know, last man standing type thing. And they had everybody else, they had set on veteran, so there was like one hit kills.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, they had it turned all the way down for like newbies. So, and the big thing was I kept getting mixed up on which one switched weapons. I kept dropping all my weapons and I would just have my hand and slapping people. And I couldn't get out of a doorway, so you would just walk. I'd just be like, bam, bam, the door frame. I was just stuck. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't manipulate it to get it smooth enough to get through there. And people would come in the room and just watch me try to get out a door, and I wouldn't even know that they were in the room with me. And Sean, he got behind me, and he apparently emptied his gun into the back of my head. And then I turned around, because it didn't do anything, and slapped him because I dropped all my weapons again, and he died. And he threw his controller on the ground. I was like, "That's it. She's out." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm done. This is not fun for me."
Oh,
so, but there was this one New Year's where that whole group got together. It was the New Year's from 1999 rolling over to 2000, and from the time we woke up, we just went over to his apartment and were there all day and all night, switching back and forth between playing Quake and 007 and Mario Kart. And I would do Mario Kart with them because I could handle that. I never won any races, but I still had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was probably the closest I ever got to, like, you know, just really hanging out with friends and gaming in college.
Oh, good times. Well, obviously, we've been through some stuff in our lives, and we've used gaming to kind of pull us through it.
Dr. Mario got me through a lot, man.
Yeah, there's... Baldur's Gate got me through some shit.
Oh, no, we do not discuss Baldur's Gate.
No, no. But you know what we do discuss?
What?
Dragon Age.
Well, of course, because Dragon Age is amazing. And you are bringing that. Because yes. when I work on Friday, and I want you to be hanging out in my office and telling me these horrible things that you're doing with your dwarf.
So, you mean I can't be playing Diablo 3, and you can't just be listening to all the great shit that I'm collecting?
No, that's not nearly as entertaining, because the music is awful. The dialogue, who listens to the dialogue?
Yep, pretty much.
And only that, but what I'll hear the entire time is your mouse button clicking. That's all I'll hear.
It'll be awesome. It'll be a good time. So we know that you've been playing Dragon Age.
Yep.
Tell us about this other one.
Yeah, I was going to review the strategy guide after I finished playing the Order the first time for my review. You know, I didn't really use the strategy guide very much because I was trying to burn through the game. And so I was like, okay, but considering that the game is pretty linear and very straightforward, and I guess unless you're playing on hard, I can't see really the need for a strategy for how to get through something. Because it's usually just about finding the right cover, finding the right weapon, and figuring out who to hit first type thing. And the guide does go through that with you. So the couple times I was stuck, that kind of helped. But for the most part, the reason why I see why needing a guide is for the collectibles. So I decided, well, I'll run through it, but I didn't get them all. So, like, I'll use the guide, I'll play again, put it on easy so I don't have to worry about anything. And I have to say, playing on easy is practically press X to win. It's amazing it's like, just here, go on through. Like, in some of the firefights, I don't even take cover. I'm running through and doing hand-to-hand kills. Or I'm just shooting from the hip. So I was able to get those two trophies from the shooting from the hip and the hand-to-hand kills because I didn't have to take cover that much. Yeah. Like, it's amazing when you get, you know, a shotgun point-blank and you don't die. So therefore, you're that close enough, you can grab him and kill him with a knife.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want any challenge at all, I would play on hard. Normal's got a little bit of a challenge, but not as much as I'm sure hard would. But anyway, so I played it again. I will say on easy, I beat the game in about 5.5 hours. Well, actually, no, I didn't even finish the game because then I got the last collectible, got the last trophy, platinum the game, like, bitches, I'm out!
Peace!
Pretty much. So my review, I was going to write my review yesterday, but then, you know, Chris turned in his Dying Light one. I was like, oh, okay, I'll just, you know, put that off for another day. Chris, and I platinumed this game. I platinumed in a combat game, so that should tell you a lot about... Because actually the guide, there's some combat trophies. I was like, there's no way I'll be able to get those. But the guide actually will hint in the walkthrough, hey, it's possible to do this here. Like, oh, really? Well, when you're playing on easy, it's really, really easy. Because like one of the trophies is for when you're using Black Sight, which is when you slow down time and you can get all these headshots. It is shoot a grenade out of the air during Black Sight. Like, yeah, right. Like, that could happen. Oh, uneasy. It's very simple. Because there's actually one room where they do nothing but throw grenades at you, and the guide even mentions, you can get a trophy if you do this here. It's like, huh, let me just see if I can do that. Yep, there it is. Okay, game on. I'm going to platinum this bitch. And I did. Which actually says a lot about the game, if I'm able to platinum a combat game.
Suddenly I want to play this just so I can have a platinum.
You can borrow my copy. I'm done with it. I got no reason to play it.
Oh, well, then I'll borrow that.
Yeah. I mean,
I could platinum it in Saturday.
Yes, because you put it on easy and play for about 6 hours. You might have to replay some sections just because of, like, you have to get so many kills with this weapon and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, seriously.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
I get a platinum on that.
Would it be your first platinum?
Probably. I think the closest thing I got to a platinum is one of the Infamous games. I was going back through and then I just stopped.
Okay.
So, Usually not one that goes for trophies unless they're, something interesting or I see that they may add
Right.
something to the game, but having a platinum would be kind of nice.
I would look at usually the list of achievements, and I was like, oh, if I can do it, I'll go for it. If I think I can do it, I'll go for it. Like Diablo 3, I never thought I could possibly get it, because I was like, there's no way I'll be able to do some of these achievements with the bosses. And I think I was playing with you one night, and because basically I used you as fodder, because you went right up to the guy, right up to the enemy. I think it was Asmodan. And was just going to town, and I had my demon hunter, and I was far back. So basically, it was like you defeat him on Inferno without getting touched. And he never came close to me because Chris was aggroing him because Chris was right there. It was funny because he's a wizard. I figured he'd hang back. But nope, he was right there, and Asmodan focused on him. So when I got that achievement, I was like, huh, I wonder if I can do the others. And yes, it's the trick is with Diablo. Is like for some of them you have to like on Inferno and you not get hit or whatever. Put it on Inferno, but then turn the difficulty down to easy. That's the trick. That's because like there was one for Belial that was like that where you couldn't get hit, which is hard. But you put it on easy, you have it on Inferno, you're level 60 with a couple of paragons, and have it turn the difficulty down to easy, and two hits and he's dead. So there you go.
Awesomeness.
He does not hit you in two hits, I guarantee you. Unless you're flinging yourself at him.
Yeah. Oh, Belial. Oh, Diablo 3.
See, that's something else we can do while you're in town. You can help me get my 5 million gold.
Yeah, I probably could.
But you won't, will you? We'll think about
I'll think about it.
it.
Well, no, because I don't. I don't have a character that I could actually use on your thing, and if I create one, I'd start off at level 1.
It'd probably make me start over, wouldn't it? Damn it.
Yeah,
Son
I
of
don't
a
know how.
bitch. Well, I have other characters I can do, but we can discuss that when you get here. Nobody else cares.
Let's see. I've been playing more Elite Dangerous. The new Wings patch apparently is getting ready to come out next week. I've been watching a streamer who actually. Apparently, if you were an early backer, you get access to all the patch stuff early. And this makes the game. It's almost a new game, almost just with the way
Almost.
that they set up the party, the communications between players now is different. I liked all the like four guys will all jump into a dog fight, and it's so awesome. And then apparently the next patch after that. Is one that I'm really looking forward to because it makes changes to how mining works. So that would be, and that's basically what I do. I just find rocks and shoot them and take stuff home. I've also been playing more Diablo 3 on the PC. I'm still working on my Season 2 character. And I jumped back on PS4. I was like, I want to see how the two compare again. And I forget how. The PC is nice because I'm playing a Demon Hunter, so I can put my turrets wherever I want them, so I usually set up a little perimeter. You can't really do that on the PS4, it just kind of drops wherever it drops.
The job's where you're standing, pretty much.
But I also forgot how enjoyable Diablo 3 is with a controller, and just how nice it is, and just relaxing. So I played a couple rounds of that too.
See, I just don't know if I can handle the clicky, clicky, clicky.
I don't actually click a lot to move. I usually hold down shift for when I'm trying to just kill stuff because I'm a demon hunter, and then I have stuff that explodes. So all I have to do is just put my mouse in the middle of a group, and then hold down shift, and then I just fire. And then I'll put turrets up wherever I need them. But so I'm not nearly as clicky as some other people are.
I started watching my friend Jarrett play. It was just like all I heard was click, 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 click. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is driving me insane. Can't even pay attention to what you're doing because that clicking is just driving me crazy.
Tick, 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 tick.
Yep.
It's a good time. I still am most like I'm gonna play one set of bounties, and then three bounties later I'm running a rift. So yeah, yeehaw. As I alluded to earlier, I'm also playing Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. Very, very much enjoying this game. Not digging. I really kind of wish I almost want to get a Circle Pad Pro just that way I can have the two analog nubs, or get a new 3DS because of that frickin' Xenoblade faceplate that's coming out.
Xenoblade. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to prepare my mocking.
You shall.
No, I shall not shut up. This deserves to be mocked.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And the last one I've been playing is I've been playing Homeworld Remastered and just loving being back in those games.
Shut up. I wish I could be playing.
So loving that game. It's, the visual update from, you know, what I remember it as to what it is now is just so good. And I forgot how, it's taken me a little while to get back in the groove because I forgot how, you know, how hard the game actually was, because by the third mission I was like restarting it because I was starting to lose, and I was just, I'm not used to that anymore. Most games you get, you know, 10 missions in before they're like, okay, let's make it a little more difficult now.
Right.
This game was like, here's your tutorial, okay, good, now go.
That's kind of how The Witcher is.
Yeah. Oh, The Witcher was, yeah. The Witcher is one that I, you know, I would play for a little bit and then I just get bored. I don't know why. And I know that there's like this huge love for The Witcher, so, and I can't even play The Witcher 3 because it won't run on my computer, so.
Well, I mean, I never played the first Witcher, but like Witcher 2, apparently like for the console, they added in a tutorial because everyone was complaining so much, and the tutorial has nothing to do with the game. It is literally like, here is how to play.
Yeah, they did that. They did that on the PC too. That's, they had the enhanced edition.
Yes,
they called it, and it was like a huge patch that came out after the console release, and that's when they dropped in the tutorial.
And even then with the tutorial, that first battle, like the first time you just walk out, I had severe problems. I'm looking at the guy going, oh my god, what do I need to do? It's like, first of all, sit here and build your traps and then place this trap and then do this. I'm like, how, people find this fun? My god, I mean, I know Ross finds it fun because he's a masochist, but yeah, I mean, that was literally one that like threw you to the wolves. I think Penny Arcade had one of the best comments about it, when, like, I think it was Gabe who was talking about how he kept dying in the first battle. And Tyco's like, it's really not that hard. You just have to use all these abilities that you don't know that you have that they never taught you how to use. Like, yes, that's very true. Yep. Yeah. That's how they did it old school.
It was.
I remember playing Age of Mythology last RTS. Like, they barely taught you stuff, too. It was like you just had to go click around and figure it out for yourself.
Age of Empires was pretty much the same way, too.
Like, did you get wiped out? Well, don't do that. Like, jeez.
I mean, that's where, I mean, even if you go back to the old Civ games, it was just, you kind of had to figure it out, even though Civ was turn-based, so you had a little bit more time than you did in Age of Mythology or even Homeworld.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Homeworld is still one of those games where if I take a break from it for a couple days, I end up, I lose my bearings on how the controls work again, so there's... Uh-huh. And there's, like, no inversion of cameras. Anyway, so I'm totally digging this, though. I'm really, really enjoying it. So I'm going to try to get through this and then start on Homeworld 2 Remastered. And yeah. So that's what I've been playing.
Awesome.
Take us out, Carrie. Take us home.
Well, we have some news in that... If you like our other podcast, The Evil Cast, it is coming to a close. With the website pretty much defunct for last several years, and everyone just kind of going their own ways and doing their own thing now, it's just, it's time. So that will be coming to a close. But Chris and I have decided that every now and then we will have after hours with SGR, where Chris and I will not be drinking coffee unless there's alcohol in it, and just be kind of drinking, and we're probably going to have Blake and Ross on there. So if you don't even know who those guys are, because you don't see other podcasts, you will. We don't know when, but eventually. I think the podcast we decided to go through the end of March, and then that will be it. Yep. But if you want to, if you have any ideas of what you'd like us to talk about strategy guide-wise or whatever, you can leave a comment on this post, or you can email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. You can follow Chris and I on Twitter. He is Starvin, that's Starvin with an E-N, and I am Crunchy Chocobo, and then Strategy Guide Reviews is at Strategy Reviews. Of course, we keep asking that you read SGR. Chris's Dying Light review is up, and I'm about to post his Corner of Randomness for today, and then hopefully tomorrow I'll have my order strategy guide review done.
Hooray. Lots of stuff.
And lights are flickering, and we got thunder sleet going on. Yay! Winter in Texas!
Oh, you better go prepare for the end of days.
No lie. God, this is ridiculous. There's not enough alcohol in my coffee, Chris. I need to go fix this.
You better go fix it. Well, yes, wait till after you have to go get your kit.
All right, that's true. That's true. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. All right. Till next time, guys.
Later.